Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Eyes of Prophecy by Bradford Bates and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Sean William Doyle. Chapter 1. Eternia tucked the light blanket tighter around her shoulders and leaned back in the chair. Tim kept his eyes on the goddess as he rested on one knee before her. She almost appeared frail. It was like seeing his grandma tucked into the chair by the fireplace at Christmas. Not a look he ever expected to see etched across Eternia's features. She was the goddess of light, an all-powerful symbol of all that was good inside the etheric coast. Now she was as weak as a kitten. "My sister has done the unthinkable, and sacrificed the people of Nerush to open a portal to her realm, blocking her influence from spreading across the deserts like a disease takes all the power I have left. I need you to petition the king for the Stone of Immoratus."
"Quest received. The Stone of Immoratus. Recent events have consumed the goddess Eternia's strength. Without the Stone of Immoratus, she won't be strong enough to stop her sister's eventual advance. All of the etheric coast is at risk. Do whatever it takes to secure an audience with the King of Promethea and acquire the stone. You, brave adventurer, are the kingdom's only hope. Reward, 20 gold coins, and a favor from the goddess."
Tim accepted the quest without hesitation. Some things in this world were more important than gold or cool new weapons. If Vitaria took over the etheric coast, it would be devastating for everyone. He didn't want to live in a world of darkness and danger. It was nice to have something to come home to, a place where they could set up some roots as they continued adventuring. If it came right down to it, Tim would have done the quest for free to protect his home. Instead, he was getting paid and being handed a favor directly from Eternia. It was like Christmas and his birthday all rolled into one whatever the fuck he wanted. The last time Eternia granted Tim a boon, it saved Cassie's life and kept their adventure going. Back then, a death would have set them back. Now it might only be a minor hiccup on their road to success. Still, because a death might not derail the entire adventure, didn't mean they could get lazy. So far, they'd managed to handle the fights without a major oopsie, but it wouldn't last forever. Every encounter they faced was more challenging than the last. Eternia gave Tim an exhausted smile as she took in his excitement for the prospective reward.
"I fear it will be no easy task to gain an audience with the king, let alone convince him to part ways with the stone."
Cassie smashed a fist against her open palm.
"Convincing people to do things they don't want to do is kind of our specialty."
Rising from where he had been kneeling, Tim looked at the tank. He loved her enthusiasm, but was pretty sure they needed to handle this situation with a little less smashing and a little more diplomacy.
"Let's try to avoid starting a war with the crown." "That's weak sauce, and you know it," Cassie thrust her finger at Tim. "If Eternia needs the stone, we should take it."
Cassie started pacing back and forth as she warmed up to the idea.
"Let's skip all the BS and get cracking skulls."
Jacoby wrapped an arm around her waist, pulling her tightly against himself.
"Maybe we should consider a more bond-like approach."
"Please, that guy was the worst spy ever. He was always getting caught and having to blast his way out of trouble with some crazy gadget."
Cassie broke free of Jacoby's hug and turned, jabbing a finger hard into his chest.
"I'm simply suggesting we save time by cutting out the spy stuff and get right to the fighting."
Shadow Lily was twirling one of her daggers on the table like a game of spin the bottle.
"Sneaking into the palace and stealing something from the treasury would be badass. But I'm with my boy toy on this one. We can't risk offending the royals, not if we want to live here."
"Boy toy?"
Tim lifted an eyebrow. Shadow Lily winked. "Just go with it."
"Get me some oil and a bow tie."
Cassie groaned.
"Ugh, I hate doing things the monotonous way. Grab me 5 of these, kill 4 of those incoming."
Cassie slumped into a chair, looking defeated about the quality of their upcoming quests.
"I hope when it comes to bartering for something as valuable as the Stone of Immoratus, the quests tasked to us will hopefully be a little more interesting than fetch this or kill that."
Tim tapped a finger against his chin as he thought about their upcoming quest.
"I don't know about you guys, but outside of the game offering a loot piñata or two, questing has brought me all of the best shinies."
Lorelei shrugged.
"Might not be a bad thing if we had to knock out some easy stuff for a minute.
We've been grinding hard and deserve a chance to catch our breath. Shadow Lily picked up her dagger and slid it home in the sheath on her thigh. This is an epic quest. We'd better get used to the fact it's going to take a while. Let's take it slow until we find out the extent of what we're in for, then make an informed decision.
It's like his voice, Jacoby pointed at Tim, came out of her mouth.
Maybe it's a glitch in the Matrix, they said in unison. Leave the poor kid alone, Cassie slapped his butt to snap him out of his daze. He almost gave him a heart attack.
Lorelai shook her head and threw up her hands as though she was dealing with a bunch of kids. Her antics only made Tim's smile grow. At least one of them stayed grounded. He could have let that joke go for another hour to see the fire mage sweat.
Let's not forget how Eternia fits into our plans. If we brought her the stone this instant, she might not have recovered enough to use it. We need to make sure we bring it back right when she's ready to power up.
Lorelai looked at the goddess for confirmation of her theory.
Time is one of those things you never realize you need until you're out of it.
Eternia sipped from her mug and pulled the blanket tighter around her shoulders.
As I sit before you, my fight against my sister's influence continues slowing my recovery.
Khalid looked like his world had been shaken to its very foundations, and yet when Eternia turned her eyes toward him, the warrior found a way to pull himself together.
What do you need from me, goddess? It is kind of you to ask, considering I failed you more than anyone else.
Eternia's expression softened into one of regret, and a single tear trailed down her cheek.
I never thought Vitaria was capable of such madness, or that a spell of such destruction was possible. Please forgive me.
Nima moved to stand next to Khalid, and laid a comforting hand on his shoulder. Her eyes never left Eternia.
There is nothing to forgive. We know who's to blame. Then it is time for you to return to Narha. The people there will be worried and looking for guidance.
Eternia grimaced as if she was in pain.
We will need a base of operations for when I return.
Tim knew this situation was dire, but he grinned. He kind of felt like Jack Bauer, saving the world 1 hour at a time. This problem was fixable. All they had to do was play their part, and the pieces would fall into place. A quick trip to see the High Priest, and Nima and Khalid would be back in Narha before breakfast was over.
We can use the portal at the temple.
My magic powers the portals. Eternia looked exasperated with herself. So they won't be of much use.
If the portals were out, they needed to find another way to get the two warriors back home. They would need to secure fast horses and someone who could get them an audience with Serafina and passage under the mountain without the five of them tagging along. On the plus side, the two warriors wouldn't have to fight their way through the subterranean dungeon, making the trip much shorter. Tim thought back to their trip to Tristholm and figured it would take them a day or two to get there, and another to make it under the mountain and back to the desert. If he thought they could get their quest done and power Eternia up in less time, he would have told them to wait. But there was no guaranteeing how quickly they would finish the task the goddess laid out before them. Since they couldn't take the time to escort their friends from the desert themselves, it was his job to make sure they had the best guide for the journey possible. Thankfully, there was a person in the room who fit the bill. Tim glanced over at Ernie. Lucky for us, we happen to know someone who knows the back road into Tristholm like the back of his hand. He also happens to have enough pull to garner an audience with Serafina. Shadow Lily smiled as she warmed up to the idea of sending the innkeeper on another journey.
My dad happens to be visiting with the ruler of Tristholm, and should be able to smooth over any rough edges Ernie's last visit to the city could have caused.
Ernie was wringing his hands on a towel, cheeks turning slightly red.
Hey, that guy was trying to kill me. I couldn't possibly lead another expedition away from the inn so soon. I've only gotten settled back in.
The inn can survive a little longer without you, Liz poured him a mug of beer. Better get your traveling boots ready because you can't say no to Eternia.
Tim almost laughed, imagining the innkeeper trying to explain that he would rather stay inside his cozy little sanctuary than help the goddess. When it came right down to it, he knew Ernie was a pretty good person, even if he brewed poisons for a living, and a den of assassins worked out of the basement of the inn. He waited to see what Ernie would do. If it was necessary, he had a few tricks up his sleeve to convince the man to go. Plus, the werewolves were on their side now, so the entire back way to the city should be clear of trouble. There was really no way he could wriggle out of it. Eternia nodded at the innkeeper's words.
If you cannot make the journey yourself, perhaps you can appoint another to take your place.
For the first time since they started talking, Tim noticed Gaston moving around the back of the room. The assassin stood next to the innkeeper and pulled him into a crushing side hug.
Ernie and I would be delighted to escort our new friends back to the desert.
Ernie glared daggers at his burly friend, but couldn't object without risking further harm to his person, so he begrudgingly added,
I'd be simply delighted to help.
Trying not to laugh, Tim pulled up his user interface and looked at the time. It was almost 2 in the afternoon. If he knew anything about government bureaucracy, it was that they shut down at 5, no exceptions. It might be better for the group to spend the afternoon putting all their ducks in a row for tomorrow. They all had excess loot to sell and things they needed to do in town that they'd been putting off. A good night's sleep in their rooms before heading back out would be what they needed to feel refreshed. It would also give him time to develop a plan, and the goddess knew he loved a good plan. Tim addressed his question to Ernie, but kept his eyes locked on Gaston's. Are you planning to leave now or in the morning? It took everything he had not to burst out laughing as Ernie's face puckered up like someone shoved a lemon in his mouth. He grew redder with each second Gaston squeezed him. The burly assassin was grinning from ear to ear, as though he'd never been so happy to escape the city for a while.
We can be ready within the hour. Fine, fine. I'll go to the stables and get things taken care of.
Ernie stomped toward the door as he shouted,
Liz, get my traveling bag ready.
Nima watched Ernie as the innkeeper stomped out of the room.
What's his deal?
Oh, he helped save the city the last time we went to Tristholm, but someone tried to kill him. And we all almost got eaten by werewolves. Tim shrugged. Should be an easy trip this time around. Khalid didn't look assured by the news. His eyes moved from Tim to Eternia.
Are you sure this is the right path?
Eternia sipped from her mug.
I am always grateful for the assistance given.
Then I'm ready to leave.
Khalid moved toward the same door Ernie had exited.
I'm not sure I trust him to pick the best horses for our trip. I'll see to their selection myself.
Gaston jogged across the room to catch up.
I'll make sure he finds the stables and that Ernie doesn't gas him.
Lorelei took Nima by the hand and led her upstairs.
Looks like we have an hour to kill,
Liz shouted up the stairs.
Better make it 2 in case Ernie gasses Khalid before we get there.
Picturing Ernie and Khalid fighting over which horses would be better for the journey while Gaston was the calm one, had laughter bursting from Tim's lips. The sound was right and full of love. This was his home now, and he loved every minute of being here. Part of him hoped he never had to go back to the real world. Another part of him envied Lorelei's and Nima's alone time. He wouldn't be able to take his lady by the hand like that until he got a few more things out of the way. He had to come up with a plan of attack over the next couple of hours so he could free up his night to be attentive to his woman's desires, which meant the next few hours were critical if he wanted to be back before she was asleep.
Tick, tick, tick.
Tim stopped thinking about what to do and jumped into action. I'm going to send a few messages out and stop by to see the High Priest. If anyone can get us past the first few layers of bureaucracy, it will be him. He turned slowly, looking at each of the remaining members. This is your time to take care of any business you need to do in the city before we get to work. Tim grinned as he eased the serious note out of his voice.
In other words, the day is yours to do with what you will.
Shadow Lily disappeared and popped back into existence right behind him to give him a gentle kiss on the cheek.
Just don't spend all your energy with that dwarf. I expect you in our room with stamina to spare by a reasonable hour.
She squashed his reply before he could get it out.
A reasonable hour. She headed toward the door.
Bam! Snap!
Jacoby put an arm around Cassie. What do you say to a little Joe's before I hit the library?
Perfect. You hit the library, I'm going to the spa.
Cassie pointed at Tim.
Thanks to good old Moneybag's recent donation, I'm going to splurge a little.
That's Mr. Moneybags to you, Tim shouted at the retreating couple. Eternia still looked tired, but she watched their interactions with fascination. They probably should have behaved better around the goddess than they did, but what was the point?
See all, hear all,
felt like a pretty standard mojo for a god, so why hide who they were? Turning away from the doorway, Tim focused on Liz at the bar. He hadn't had many chances to check on her since hiring her away from the brothel. Still, Ernie hadn't killed her yet, so she must be doing a great job. How are things?
Better than expected. Ernie and I get along well, and I'm pretty sure he likes being able to spend more time in his poison cave than running the place anyway.
Tim felt good knowing that things had worked out well for her. It didn't take long for him to get around the bar and pull Liz into a hug.
Let me know if you need anything.
I might not always be here, but normally I can get back for something serious.
Go save the day so I can pour beers instead of fighting monsters.
Liz turned and headed into the kitchen. Tim stood behind the bar, looking out at the almost empty room. It took him a moment to realize he was alone with the goddess. This was the perfect time to ask her about the portals, or maybe what she planned to do after Vittoria was defeated. He opened his mouth to speak as he routed the bar, and an ear-splitting snore rattled through the room. The goddess Eternia was sleeping. Chapter 2 Eternia was still alive.
That sneaky bitch!
Vittoria hissed under her breath as she poured the fourth glass of ambrosia. How was it that her sister could thwart every one of her plans? The light-farting savior of the masses found a way to stop her strongest spell. Even when Vittoria risked everything, all her strength and almost every damn soul in the city, it wasn't enough to so much as knock the smiling debutante of glitter off her throne. Not even for a second. When did being evil fall out of vogue? There was a time when it paid to be a murderous, deceitful thug, and she missed those times greatly. The world needed more pirates, more rebellions, more tinpot dictators. If nothing else, there should be at least one cult worshipping the magnanimity of her evil. Her brand of darkness was the purest form. The defeat at her sister's hands left a bitter taste in her mouth. It would be one thing if Eternia reveled in it and rubbed it in her face, but the good-for-nothing cream puff didn't seem to care. She'd probably say something like, "It wasn't about her. Innocent people didn't deserve to die." What a crock of shit. Right when she thought her sister had taken everything from her, Vittoria felt the pull of her realm below. Maybe she'd let her sister live by opening the door. Or it could have been that she made the best out of a shitty situation. But either way, the nether realm was open. The city and fields beyond were rife with corpses. She didn't have to call her children. They could smell the feast and knew what it meant. Meat for the beast. So her sister had finally made a mistake. In her haste to save her precious mortals, she gave away the key to victory. As her children ran out of sustenance, they would leave the city and spread through the world of the etheric coast like a plague. Nothing would be safe from them. The world was a field of wheat, and her children a swarm of locusts. Soon the very fabric of this world would tremble. Maybe then her sister would finally be knocked down a few pegs in the eyes of the worthless masses, and Vittoria would have the respect she deserved. She could feel it all right beyond her grasp. It was time for her to seize the moment, and maybe the fifth glass of wine.
"Don't even get me started on those pesky adventurers,"
Vittoria huffed as she draped herself back into the throne. Half of her wine sloshed on the floor, and a good portion of the rest on her dress. The goddess looked down at the bright red spot and giggled. It was the sound of a person in anguish, someone asking the simple question of what else could go wrong. She lifted a finger, and all the wine pulled out of the fabric of her dress and flowed back into the glass.
"Some people think magic isn't useful."
Vittoria drained the glass and threw it across the room before standing to claim a new bottle and glass from a rack next to the throne. She tried to let the bitterness go, but she couldn't do it. How had her sister turned those five idiotic adventurers into such a force so quickly? Sometimes it felt as if this entire world had been created to make her angry. Hopefully, those ridiculous adventurers would be dumb enough to show up without her sister's magic to shield them. Then it wouldn't take more than a flick of her wrist to slaughter them all. If only things were that easy. Now she was in a position where simply killing them wouldn't be enough. Vittoria knew she had to make an example out of them. To show the rest of the world that taking a swing at her only ended in one unequivocal result. Permadeath. She didn't know if it was possible to kill an adventurer,
but she did know that she could make their life in the Etheric Coast so miserable that they gave up or rolled a new character to escape her notice. Safety was a myth the sheep told themselves so they could sleep at night. When the darkness came, there would be no stopping it. She would swallow this universe whole if that was what it took to control it. Then she would shape it in her image. Why her freeloading father gave Eternia the ability to create and build worlds, and not her, was beyond Vitaria. The light-sniffing whore hadn't used her gift to create a world. She was happy living in the one father had given them. It was a slap in the face. At the very least, her sister could leave the people of this world to her and create her own. Instead, she'd relegated Vitaria to a world of darkness. The underworld had a certain kind of beauty to it. There was something to be said about waking up to the screams of a million souls. She delighted in their pain and anguish because it gave her power. There was no attempt at rehabilitation in her realm. The last thing Vitaria wanted was souls ascending into the light. Instead, she made the denizens of the dark hate their existence so much they forgot what it was like to be human. Eternal damnation was the price sinners paid for her prosperity. At some point, Vitaria assumed the people of the world above would have caught on to the trick. Don't do bad shit. Bypass a trip to hell. Or, if she had her way, it would be more of a permanent staycation. It wasn't even the big things like murder that brought in the largest crops of souls. Now she mostly fed off the petty little deceits. The friend who always asked for them to buy lunch but never paid. It was the users and abusers, those who put themselves in front of others for material gain. Vitaria reveled in their hatred, gloried in their wickedness. The fact that they couldn't stop being themselves for a minute, even in hell, was delightful. All of it fed her and added to her power, just like their souls. Maybe it was time she used her power for something more ambitious than thwarting her sister. If she could only steal the means to make a new world, she would be happy leaving the remains of this one to Eternia to do whatever she wanted. She would finally be able to leave her sister behind and live the life she wanted without being judged. It was her turn to be the creator. Vitaria wanted to return to the old ways where people didn't worship gods only with words. She wanted sacrifices and gifts. The people needed to understand she was in charge, that her word was law. Then and only then would they be grateful to receive the blessings she would bestow upon them. Her plan for domination all turned to shit when Eternia refused to die. Her sister lived, forcing Vitaria to start over once again. She told herself it was fine, but the amount of wine she was consuming said differently. Her original idea for taking her sister's gift, or this world, needed to be revised. Sometimes a goddess had to wipe the slate clean and start fresh. The best way to do it was to burn away the bad and replace it with something better. Her children of the depths rose into this plane for the first time in this world's existence. Vitaria knew that no matter what happened next, she'd changed the face of the Etheric Coast forever. Rise or fall, the repercussions of their actions today would ring through the halls of fate, and they still hadn't seen anything yet. The Goliath, the Juggernaut, they were babies compared to what was coming. It wouldn't be long now before all her children emerged from the depths and began their exodus across the land. Narha would fall to her, and her influence would spread like cancer across all the land she touched. Once she had this world under her thumb, then and only then would she strike against her sister. The goddess of light wouldn't be able to wriggle out of her clutches this time. Vitaria watched her children feeding on the bodies of the fallen until a voice broke her concentration.
Mistress, I have news from Narha.
The pharaoh knelt before her like a common messenger. Vitaria grinned. Breaking Phandar was easier than she ever imagined. The man was a gutless worm, only interested in what benefited him and nothing else. Normally, continuing a relationship with a human once their worth had ended was something she would never have considered. But seeing the pharaoh grovel before her brought Vitaria a certain amount of amusement. She would let him live until he stopped being entertaining.
Speak! I grow tired of waiting. Vitaria leaned back, enjoying another sip of wine as she waited for him to underwhelm her.
Phandar lowered his head. Fear rolled off him in waves.
It seems most of the resistance was protected inside the palace, and have now gathered in Narha. There is some confusion on the issue, but Eternia, the desert rat, his brat, along with the five adventurers, appear to be absent.
If they aren't in the city, what exactly are my spies confused about? She sipped more wine, enjoying the look on his face as she reminded him that everything he once had was hers now. Fandar risked glancing up, then quickly lowered his eyes.
The debate seems to be whether they lived or not, and what to do about it if they didn't.
Send some of your men to sow the seeds of despair with lies about Khalid's and the goddess's untimely demise. Vitaria enjoyed this moment. It wouldn't be long until this realm was hers, or her sister gave her one of her own.
Maybe we can get those idiots running Narha to make a deal before they figure out the goddess is alive.
Vitaria slammed her glass down on the edge of her throne, breaking the second one of the day.
A deal?
Fandar sounded shocked as he looked up from where he knelt. Vitaria tossed the remains of the glass onto the floor, and with a clap, summoned forward one of her favorite male consorts.
Of course there is a deal to be made. I'm not a monster.
Her eyes glittered with nefarious intent.
They can join us or become food for the Horde.
Fandar's head lowered so fast she thought he might have snapped his neck.
That is very generous of you, mistress.
I thought so as well.
Vitaria stood and motioned for her male companion to loose his pants and sit on the throne.
Come back if you have additional information.
Fandar backed away, keeping his head lowered until he was almost out of the room. Then he spun on his heels and exited the royal throne room with a straight back. Vitaria watched the pharaoh go, noting the small act of defiance, no matter how minuscule it was. She reached out and ran a finger across her companion's chest. Vitaria let her skin get hot enough that her touch was uncomfortable, but wouldn't burn him severely. There would be time for burning later if he failed to please her.
Get ready for a little divine inspiration.
Working with Vitaria wasn't exactly going the way Fandar planned. Sure, for the last 40 years he'd had everything he wanted and more. If the goddess hadn't shown up 20 years ago demanding he go to war with Narha and claim the entire desert in Vitaria's name, he'd still be living the good life. Probably with more servants and an even larger palace. Sadly, when the goddess of destruction called in her chip, you either carried out her request or ceased to exist. He didn't want to disappear. Fandar kept his head low, making sure to sulk as he left the throne room. A niggling little suspicion was growing in the back of his mind that Vitaria was only keeping him around out of amusement. If he stopped looking disgruntled, he might turn into food like all the others. Some of those people had been his friends. Although it had been a long time since he'd truly had a friend, and if any of those people now lived, they'd be better off not mentioning it. Seeing the city full of rotting corpses and the smile on Vitaria's face as the first of her children crawled from the underworld had been enough to convince Fandar he picked the wrong side. He'd been a little street shit with dreams of being pharaoh and sold his soul for power that was as useful as dust in the wind. He was a puppet, and Vitaria pulled his strings. It made him feel better to heap all the blame for the horrible things he'd done at Vitaria's feet, but the truth was he'd enjoyed many of those deeds. He took a certain amount of pride in seeing the fear in people's eyes when they met him. It felt much better than the looks of contempt and disgust when he begged for scraps in the market as a boy. In the end, his pride did him in. Fandar was nothing to the Dark Goddess. Maybe he could use that to his advantage in the future. Until then, he would play the dutiful servant. Fandar would keep his head low, grumbling and bitching about feeling like a servant. Hopefully it kept her entertained while he looked for a way to screw the bitch over. Screwing over people who tried to fuck him was the one skill he brought with him from the street to the present, and he looked forward to seeing Vitaria's face when he brought her down. Sometimes a man had to be real with himself. It wasn't as if living his life after the fall was full of great hardships. Vitaria hadn't killed any of the staff or his wives. There was enough food to feed them for years in the storage rooms under the palace, and enough wine to fill a river. Food, sex, and the luxuries of being a pharaoh were all still at his fingertips. All he had to do to keep them was look humbled until it was time to flip the script. Fandar didn't play silly games, and he always came out on top.
When Vitaria was banished or destroyed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?